we are. And we're both reminding ourselves. We're
to
both
remember.
Putting notes in our cars. In our phones, in our cars, and on our refrigerators that next week we don't drive to the WGN studios. We drive to the Garfield Park Conservatory.
Because we're doing our first remote since we've been back on the radio.
And it's our first chance in a long time to see a lot of our girlfriends.
Live and in color.
Right. We did, when we were on before, we did remotes from time to time and always got to see girlfriends. And now we're anxious to do it again and in such a beautiful place.
So it's located at 300. This will be up on our webpage, right? Is it already?
Yes, it already is up there.
Okay.
Under the events section.
Okay. Well, one of us will send out a message too. It's at 300 North Central Park Avenue in Chicago.
It's just off the Eisenhower.
It's free admission and parking. And if you, as Kristen just said, you can get more information about Hometown Voices. We're sponsored by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. And we're finally part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour.
Presented by Allstate. So we will be there. We'll be broadcasting from 10 to noon and hope to meet a lot of you there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. I think that conservatory was built at the turn of the century or
it
before.
Looks it.
It's one of those beautiful old greenhouses with just beautiful shape and style. And you guys will make it even more shapely and stylish. So we're excited.
We're excited to see you there. I said to Kathy this morning, I said, what if no one comes? Let's find out how many chairs are there. I hope about 5.
Yeah, we're going to start out and have them put 10 chairs out. And then we can add chairs if more than 10 people show up. So
Right. Come
on by.
Should I bring some from my house?
Sure. We haven't seen a lot of you in a lot of years.
Right.
And just be ready because we look older.
Okay, and I don't think I'm having my roots done till the following week. It's just the way it turned out. So I'm sorry about my roots in advance.
Right.
Which, of course, ties in with the conservatory and all the plants that have
roots. Oh, and the roots. There you go.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So we'll mention it.
Thematic.
Right. We'll mention it several more times, but if you've got your next Saturday morning open, maybe you'll think about putting the Garfield Park Conservatory on your schedule. It'll be fun. There's not a good transition. I was going to say, speaking of fun, have you been attacked by a goose? But I remember several years ago, and I can't remember which CD it's on, there was a hilarious story by a guy that was trying
to figure out how
to keep geese out of his yard.
Right.
Because he had been attacked by geese. And this apparently, you can go on YouTube and put in attacked by geese. And geese apparently are very territorial, especially when they're nesting, especially when they're hatching babies or protecting their babies.
And that's now.
Yeah. And if you have them nearby, don't mess with them because I think 312-981-7200 is our number. Text us or call us and tell us about your own personal attacked by geese story. Apparently it's a serious problem. The CD story, and again, can't remember which one it's on because we had 9 of them. A guy named Mike, wasn't that his name, I think?
Well, aren't you busy remembering? That's pretty good.
I think his name was Mike. I could be wrong. But Mike had geese in his yard, and he was trying to keep them away. And his girl, he was from Canada, I think, and
the
he had moved here with
Canada.
No, but there was another Canada tie-in, and Mike decided that the way to keep the geese out would be to install an invisible fence around his yard, and he was a little
forgot about
he
the
was
part
a
where
little
the geese
alarmed
have to, wear.
To learn that he was going to have to put the collars on the geese to keep them out of his yard.
It was a two-part successful program.
Exactly. So if you have your own personal attacked by a goose story, please call us. This is Wanda. Wanda, you have your own personal story?
I sure do.
Let's hear it.
I was in a gift shop parking lot in Wisconsin. Can't remember the name of the town, sorry to say. But
that's all right.
There are geese everywhere up there.
Right.
I was sitting in my car waiting for the shops to open and heard honking. I thought for sure it was a lot of geese. And so I grabbed my camera and I got out of the car. There were two count them, two, male and female, in the parking lot, walking together. He was staying between me and her, and he was telling me, under no circumstances was I to come any closer because my life was in peril.
Did he attack you or just warn you?
No. Eventually, I got close enough so that he pecked my ankles, and I had really thick socks on, so I wasn't hurt. But it was exciting
to have your own personal goose attack.
Yeah, so I could call Kathy and Judy 10 years later.
This was 10 years ago, etched in your memory.
Absolutely,
that's hilarious, Wanda. Thank you.
Tons of them at up where I live in Fort Sheridan, and they come every September, October, and in the morning there's probably 150 of them. Just
out on the parade ground, right?
And when the dog first saw them, you know, like all things foreign to him, he was barking, and I just thought, don't even think about it. They will destroy you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're very aggressive.
They're mean.
Man.
They're very mean.
312-981-7200. Give us a call or send us a text about your personal goose attack. Is that goose music?
Black Crowes.
Oh. Close. All right.
Thank you, Bob Ferguson.
This is Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Let's hear your goose story.
Okay, it's a good one. I used to work at the 94th Air Squadron restaurant, which is no longer, but it was adjacent to Palwaukee Airport.
Oh, right, right.
Yes. So I come to work one morning, and the restaurant had World War One aircraft on the premises. The whole restaurant was supposed to be a World War One farmhouse. So I come into work, and out of the sky comes this supersonic aircraft, I thought, but it was a goose with a wingspan that had to be 25 feet.
Oh, my
it
God.
It was horrible. So I hurry, and I get into the restaurant. I tell the manager what is happening, and I said, there's going to be problems. So the next time I go into work, I go into my trunk, and I get my 9-iron because I'm a golfer, and I don't like these.
And it's like good for short hits and geese. Right. Yeah.
I know the animal lovers will hate this, but golf courses, soccer fields, they're covered with goose doo-doo.
Right.
Oh, it's just yucky. Send them back to Canada, but no, they hang out here. So I go into work and I tell the boss what's going on, and he said, okay, well, of course, nothing happened. Well, in comes a family to have lunch, and guess what? The goose, who is protecting its nest that we did not know was existent over in the aircraft area along the property line, attacked the mother and the little girl, oh, my goodness.
Were they bleeding?
They were not bleeding, but and they were screaming, which apparently scared off the goose. She was nesting, but who knew? You know, so
yeah.
That's my food story. Awful. Hate them. Hate those geese.
All right. So that's your own personal goose story. And it's not dissimilar to our girlfriend from the 630 area, who says, 4 weeks ago, took my granddaughter to the park down by the Fox River. After swings and slides, walked down to see the boats and geese swimming. Both geese were no more than 15 feet in the water from where we were standing. The goose shot out of the water and clipped the top of my head. He came around again, and I was able to wave him off and carry the baby 2-year-old out of the danger area. Lots of blood streaming down the face, a great look for Halloween, 4 stitches, and a $1,000 bill. Never saw a nest. Was safer on the golf course with a club in hand. 312-981-7200. Oh, Mary, you had a goose very close by.
Yes.
Where?
Well, I live in a second-story condominium, and this spring I had a goose nest on my flat roof right outside my window against the building, And for weeks, she'd be on my roof just looking through the window at us.
And what happened when you went in and out? Wasn't that goose just ready to dive bomb you?
I was scared to death of her. And, later on, we did have something happen. But she banged at my window, and she ripped out the window screen.
Wow!
And her mate got so upset when I was in the driveway once pointing up to the nest to show a friend.
Yeah.
And her mate and another goose were on my roof with their wings spread. They were honking at us, and they were ready to swoop down. And we ran in screaming into the garage.
How long did they nest there?
She arrived in early March and left April 27th.
How do you remember
the after day? After the kids came.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, much as I hated having her there, I was worried about her chicks getting down from the second floor.
Right.
Because they jump. But anyway, they made it down and they're gone.
And now, once they're down off the nest, and the nests are often high, there's a great video of a mother who had nested in a tree and of the babies leaving, you know, and they jump out. Their wings are too immature to fly. But they just take this leap of faith. And jump down, and it's really cool to watch. All right, Mary, glad you're okay.
I am too. Thank
you. From 847, I was attacked by a goose while walking with my neighbor. He flew up and caught the hood of my jacket and beat my shoulder with his wings. I was sore for days. Kathy from Hoffman Estates.
I wonder what these guys weigh.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, actually, they're flying, but...
Right. Birds, even though they may look big, don't feel that heavy. Because I once went to a place where you could go with the hawks, and the hawks come on your arm, and they're not that heavy.
Yeah, but if her shoulder hurt for days, there had
to be some whacking her with his wings, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Some amount of force.
All right, this is Kathy. Your husband wasn't taking any of that goose stuff.
That's right.
What happened?
Well, I first have to say my husband is a very quiet man. He's not very romantic, and he doesn't get mad very easily, but we were having a romantic little walk around a pond in East Dundee, and there was an extended family, I'll say, of geese, and they just wouldn't let us alone. They were noisy and intrusive. He turned around and rushed them, yelling and screaming.
And what happened?
They went away.
Did so you tell him not to do that? Not a good idea, darling?
When he started doing it, I said, don't.
Wow, and one of our girlfriends, I'm trying to track it down, it says, geese usually are more bluff than bite. As the goose comes toward you with its neck outstretched, reach down with your hand outstretched as if to grab it by its neck. It'll turn tail, still honking, while throwing nasty looks over its shoulder.
Oh, I'd be afraid.
Yikes.
I'd lose a finger.
Yeah, me too. This is Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
So good to talk to you. I almost forgot that this is quite a few years ago. I was at a retreat up in Wisconsin, all about serenity and, you know,
calmness.
Being peaceful. And I went for a walk, and I had a white sweatshirt on, and all of a sudden they were flying overhead and let loose with this awful business.
Oh, that green and white. Yeah, with the green, black, and white. Yeah.
Because I don't even usually wear white, so
do you remember,
it's even worse.
We had a conversation sometime back about the fact, and I think this is scientific, that birds don't have an anal sphincter. So when they got to go, they just go, including in flight. So they can't go, I got to go. I got to land and go find a nice private place.
So it's just like spillage out of them.
Exactly. That's my
little... Well, it wouldn't have been so bad, but there were two or three of them. So I was just like, oh, my God.
Did they all do it at the same time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. That's interesting kind of animal behavior.
Yeah.
I thought, because someone, when I went back inside, somebody said, oh, well, what did you do to irritate them? And I thought...
I just walked.
You want to go out and poop?
I just walked.
I'm going to go for a walk to continue my serenity.
There you go. Mary, thanks for the call.
Can I ask you a really quick question about next Saturday?
Yes.
Do we have to register?
No. Just show up. Just come on out to the Garfield Park Conservatory.
Okay, now introduce yourself to us, because now we'll know that you're the girl with the
poopage. Say, I'm Mary who had goose poop on me.
I'm the goose girl.
Right, there you go.
Thank you. Bye, Mary. See you next week.
Okay. At the Bald Eagle Sanctuary, experts say the average weight for a bald eagle. Now, you know how big a bald eagle is?
Mm-hmm.
6 pounds.
Wow. They
must six pounds.
Like, marrow in their bones.
No, their bones are hollow. They have hollow bones, and so they're...
Do all birds have hollow bones?
Yes, that's how they fly.
A girlfriend called in and said that geese are 40 to 50 pounds.
Okay, that's impressive.
Really?
That's very impressive.
How?
That
therefore,
does
I'm,
not
are they
sound
bigger?
Right.
My hand out.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
No, it doesn't. That's
She's
like
been
the,
drinking.
That's like the size of a four-year-old.
I was going to say right. 20 pounds, maybe.
Why,
not 50.
Why is that so surprising? Airplanes weigh way more.
Oh, now here's another one. Eagles weigh between 12 and 18 pounds. We just got 6 pounds. Somebody do their homework and get us some information.
We're trying to run this weight radio show.
Exactly. Back after this. 2 Obscure. 2 Obscure, Bob.
Does
Kristen.
It have a name?
I actually know this song.
What is it, Kristen?
It's a group. No, that's Veronica.
It's a group called Breaking Benjamin.
And what's the song? Slap You in the Face? That old standard?
I'm hearing the words in my head. It'll come to me.
Oh, it
okay.
has words?
Do you play that when you're making candles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's very energetic.
All right.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right.
Well, I did want to talk about face slapping because as many of you probably saw last week, it was the finale of The Good Wife. And in the finale... toward the very end, Christine Baranski hauls off on Juliana Margulis with the slappiest face slap I have seen in ages.
And it was an echo of the first episode.
Right,
When Juliana Margulis slapped her husband.
Chris Noth. Right. I can't believe she stayed with him for 7 years. It's just still makes me
crazy.
Must
be good in bed. Okay. Just a thought.
So I'm going to just barf over here.
Okay.
So anyway, it made me think about face slapping. And, you know, there are two things about it which would explain why I've never done it. One is it seems so melodramatic. It seems like from 30s movies.
Yeah, it seems such a violation.
Right. And it's always a girl thing.
What do you mean?
You don't generally see in the movies a man slapping the face of a girl.
Right. So why is it okay if a girl does it to a guy?
It isn't right.
Right.
But one thing is it seems melodramatic. And the other thing is I'm positive I'd miss the face. And that would be fun. You know, you just
like hit the neck.
Yeah, it's just like the way I played tennis. You know, you just go right
whap.
Through and
okay.
the ball's not going anywhere. But I thought... it would be interesting to talk to people who have been slapped in the face and or who have slapped someone in the face. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about just this roiled up fury that happens.
I wonder if more often than not there's a lot of alcohol involved.
Well, Christine Baranski came right out of court,
right.
So I don't think there was any.
Right. But I mean, in real life, if...
real life, I would say yes, with there being a lot of alcohol involved, unless it is like the ultimate betrayal. I don't know what that would be, but if someone feels like they've been ultimately betrayed so much that that's their first gut instinct...
Well, in both cases, in The Good Wife, that was the case. In the
right.
first.
In right. the first and in the last.
Right.
Because Christine Baranski thought that she had betrayed their friendship by dragging in a husband. Well, if you
the
don't watch it,
right.
you're
yeah,
just
right.
going
right.
to, it's not going to be very good.
Significant, right. 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you have been the slapper or the slappee with a face slap. And this is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi. So I was slapped by I'm 58 now.
Uh-huh.
And when I was 16, I was slapped by my mother.
Why?
In public. Well, we were checking out at a pharmacy, and my mom was going through a divorce, and I think I was snotty.
You think a 15-year-old girl could be snotty? Well,
Yeah, I think I was approaching 16, and I was really snotty and snarly, and she hauled off and slapped me. I've never forgotten it, and I do not blame her, only because I remember what I was like, and I was really snotty, and I said something to her, probably nasty in front of a stranger, and thinking, oh, I can get away with it attitude-wise.
Because we're in public. Right.
And I was humiliated. I'm sure the checkout counter girl was also humiliated, too.
And you know, today, Heather, if that happened, they'd probably call the authorities.
Right.
Yeah, they probably would. And I've never forgotten it.
Did she apologize?
I don't know. We actually were always very close in life, but I don't know. We actually had to get in the car and drive home. I think it probably took us a couple days to right ourselves, but it was one of those things where I've seen other girls out in public shopping with their mothers, and they'll say very snotty things to them. And I'm like, huh, young girls still do that. I don't have a daughter, so I don't know.
Well, sure they still do that. I'm sure they do. I'm trying to think if I face slapped any of my kids. I know my parents may have, but I remember mostly when I mouthed off that I got lava soap in my mouth, washed into my mouth, and that was just foul.
My parents really were not, they didn't really reprimand it. They weren't spankers, they weren't soap in the mouth. They didn't do other things. This was the one time I was a good parent to my children, but I never really, was a spanker. It was the one time.
I never forgotten it had a lot to do with the divorce.
No. Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
Thanks. All right. Well, thanks, Heather. And Heather apparently is not the only one who got slapped by her mom, but she may be the only one who slapped back, like Gina.
Well, Gina? Hello? Hi.
You have to turn your radio off, Gina.
Okay. I'm on my Bluetooth. I'm so sorry.
Okay. That's okay. But just turn your radio off.
Oh, duh.
Okay. That's okay.
Are you also driving, Gina? Because you're alarming me a little bit with your inability to multitask.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, I always got slapped across the face for whatever. And I can't say I didn't deserve it all the time, but this one time when I was 15, I'll never forget, I don't know what I did, but my mom whacked me across the face again, and for some reason I whacked her right back. It was an open-hand slap, and I just remember being so shocked, and the look on her face was so shocked, and I just ran. And then she never hit me ever again. Ever.
And how did you get along as you moved forward into your adulthood?
Oh, okay. She's not that nice of a person. I would love to have a super kind, loving mom, but that's not the case. But,
does she live around here?
Yeah, she does.
Does she listen
to the radio?
Oh, my goodness, no.
Oh, okay.
Oh my goodness, I never thought of that.
I truly didn't.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, Gina, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
312-981-7200. Back after this.
We're talking about getting your face slapped or slapping somebody else.
Which seems inappropriate in any instance.
Yeah, well, but it happens all the time. Apparently, the lines have been full. This is Bronwyn. Hey, Bronwyn.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. I was a teenager, and my mom and I were in the kitchen fighting, and I just remember raising my right hand, and then the left side of my face was stinging for a while.
Somebody beat you to it.
Yeah, my mom just
She saw you.
Yep.
Were you raising your left hand to slap her or because you were trying to protect yourself?
Oh, I was raising my right hand to slap her, and she got me on the left side.
Wow.
So yeah. Bronwyn,
you even looked at her cross again, I don't think. But what? I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to ask you something. You are a frequent poster on the Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay, and you usually have really funny things to say?
Thank you.
Okay, but you just got censored by Facebook this morning. Did you know that?
No. Are you, for what?
For something you're trying to put up, and they said no, 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 Bronwyn. You got slapped in the face, metaphorically.
Oh, my God. I haven't...
Is that on the official page or the unofficial page, Jude?
It was somehow you're in my personal feed.
Okay.
Not knowing you, though I feel I know you. But right. I don't know. Do you remember what you tried to post yesterday?
No. Nothing more racy than I usually do, I don't think.
Did it have a bad word in it?
It says it may have been removed or the person who shared it may not have had permission to share it with you.
Yeah, but it was
direct. Oh, is that what it says?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
I will,
yeah. Okay, and, well, try and repost
it. I will, definitely.
Check it out. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Bronwyn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and we're going to talk to a guy now, Zach.
Hey, yeah. Zach.
Hi.
Tell us about your slapping episode.
You face-slapped a person?
Yeah, I slapped someone when I was in high school. We were playing a pickup game of basketball. And I don't know what came across the guy, but for some reason, he got frustrated and he spit on me.
Oh,
and
gross.
Spit and landed on my ankle. And the first thing that came to my mind was slap him. And I slapped him right across the face. And that was the first and only time I've ever slapped someone.
So, surprised at that?
Yeah, some guy did that. And the funny thing was...
Were you surprised that you slapped him?
Not too surprised. He sort of deserved it, but his friends and everyone around us were like very surprised.
Well, one of our texters said, you noted that a face slap is a female thing. Guys have the dope slap across the back of the neck. I don't know what that is.
Do you know that?
What's a dope slap?
I slapped his sunglasses right off his face. I know that.
Okay. Do you know what the dope slap is?
No idea.
Okay.
All right. Zach, we're glad you're listening because you don't sound like you're 50. How old are you?
No, I'm 21.
Well, we're glad you're listening.
Have you learned anything over by listening to us, Zach?
I've been listening to you guys for quite a while now. I don't know. I'd say like 3 years or so.
Wow. That's cool.
You guys, it's better than the normal stuff on the radio.
Thanks,
Zach, and thanks for calling.
Wait, do we have
no
pizza?
Do we have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
I remember 2 years ago I called you guys, and I was on a Jimmy John's delivery call, and you guys gave me a Lou Malnati's gift card before.
Did you use it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to give you another one, so you can use that one. Are you still delivering for Jimmy John's?
Oh, no, no.
What are you up to?
What are you doing now?
I'm actually getting married in about 2-3 months. July.
Wow.
I'm working for Comcast.
Well, good
are
for you.
Are you the guy that comes to the door and we wait all day for, or are you an inside sales guy or what?
I'm the technician, so I go to the door.
So when you call and say, I can't get Hulu on my Comcast, you're the one that comes and fixes it.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, hold on. We're going to put you on hold. You get another Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
That's awesome.
Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Tell us, in one sentence, tell us about your wife-to-be.
She's amazing. She's everything I ever wanted.
Excellent. Well, that works out nice.
Well, things are working out very well for you. Have a great marriage.
Stay on the line, yeah. Zach.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. And this is Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Who are you?
This is your best Indiana fan.
Okay.
I love you guys. Love you guys to death.
Thank you.
My slap story is I've not slapped anybody, but when my old man was the most pacifistic man you ever met in your life, never, ever, six kids, and he never struck any of us.
Except.
Until one day when I was 15, and we have a great ability at 15 to bring out the worst in people. I was coming down the stairs, and my dad was at the bottom of the stairs saying something to me, and I didn't like it. So I said something stupid. I don't remember what. And all of a sudden, I saw his right hand coming. And I was so stunned that I was capable of making this wonderful, mild-mannered man want to do this. I never felt the impact. I was so stunned by what I had done that I knew I had to be horrible. And that was the only time he ever hit me or any of the other kids. But that shows what a 15-year-old is capable of doing.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you know, it's funny. Several of these calls have actually happened in that very, very close time frame of being 15 or 16. And
that's teenagers.
You know, and it, yeah, just pissing off your parent because you think you're such hot stuff.
I tried to get through in your last segment. I know how to get rid of the geese.
How? Electric fence?
Oh, no. And by the way, they are not Canadian geese. They're Canada geese. And they're not even from Canada.
Okay, but how do you get rid of them?
I went by an armory when I used to do my route, and they had a pond out. Of course, the geese were there. And one day I come by, and there was no geese. So I walked over to see what was going on. They bought one of those floating alligator heads. And it's anchored to the bottom.
A decoy.
Around.
Right.
As the wind would blow, it would change direction. Never saw another goose there.
Interesting. So get a floating alligator head.
Or probably
and you can buy them. I mean, they're for sale now. But you tether to the ground. And
Amazon's got
ground.
A special on
them. I'm
sure
they do. We're going to check it out. Thanks for the idea, Tim, and for the call.
Okay. Thank
Take
you
care.
Guys for being you.
Bye-bye.
Money. Money makes the world go around. The world go around. The world go around. Money makes the world go around. It makes the world go round.
Yes, it does. And for many people, it is a constant, constant struggle. I read a story this week, and the number in this knocked my socks off. Not literally, figuratively. The question, the headline is, could you come up with $400 if disaster struck? If a financial emergency struck, say a health problem or a car that needed repair, would you be able to come up with $400?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Federal Reserve Board, and I'm going to ask you what you think the number is, what percent of Americans would have trouble doing so? They would have to sell something, borrow money, or simply couldn't pay. What percentage of Americans would have trouble coming up with $400 in an emergency?
You know, my world is so skewed, but you're so surprised by this. So is it something over 50%?
It's 47%.
Would credit cards count?
Well, I think that would be borrowing money. That would be akin to borrowing money if you put it on your credit card. $400 in cash. 47%, and this is the Federal Reserve Board, 47% of Americans would have trouble coming up with that, which speaks to why payday loans happen and maybe why Donald Trump is doing so well. But my question is for our girlfriends.
Why would that explain why Donald Trump is doing so well?
People are angry. They're frustrated. They don't have money. They're it's just a hard time.
Oh, see, and when I think of Donald Trump, I think of like uber wealthy, luxurious, like pisses me off.
I'm with Kristen in that you would
gold
think that
toilets,
somebody who would
really?
Be unable to come up with that kind of money would really resent
yes.
a profligate guy like Donald
yeah.
Trump.
I think that's part of the surprise that Donald Trump supporters, correct me if I'm wrong, that now I'm going to get in trouble. But my perception is that a lot of Donald Trump supporters are not wealthy people.
I think that's true.
Right.
And
are people who don't have the kind of luxury that Donald Trump has.
But what Kristen and I are saying is we're surprised by that because we would think that they'd be resentful of somebody like him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that may be the case. But I'm just asking our girlfriends and guy friends at 312-981-7200. What is the number with a dollar sign in front of it that would fix things for you? Right now, in your life, right now, would it be $400? I remember a time, and I've talked about this before.
Right.
There was a time in my life when I had my electricity shut off twice. I had two kids. I was divorced. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was kiting money, you can't do it anymore because when you write a check at the store, they run it through the machine and it immediately comes out of your account. But back in the early 80s, you could go to the Jewel. If you knew a check was about to hit the bank, you could go to the Jewel a couple days before payday, write a check for $50, take the cash, go deposit it in the bank, and then it would hit the bank on the same – the check and the withdrawal would hit the bank on the same day. So you were covered. That's called kiting. And I did that more than once, but – on two separate occasions, I had my electricity turned off. So I get it. I know what that feels like every day to worry about having money. And in those days, I remember one time, one of my friends put a $20 bill in my purse unobtrusively, so I didn't find it until I got home. It was like manna from heaven, $20. So I'm just asking our girlfriends and guys to call and just tell us the amount. What amount of money would, let's just make it really short term, would make your life, would make you sleep better for the next month?
When you were at that stage,
right?
Can you remember back to, like, if only I had $300, if only I had $400,
right.
Was it that?
It wasn't that much.
It wasn't that much.
It would, at that point, it would probably be if only I had $100. Yeah. And I
so you didn't think ahead to having more so you wouldn't have to live from paycheck to paycheck.
No, but it was, it was paycheck to paycheck. And what would have made a difference in my life would have been $100. That would have made it. So 312-981-7200. What was the agency? The Federal Reserve Board says that 47% of Americans would have trouble coming up with $400 in an emergency. And this is Steve. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, ladies. How are you today?
All right. Can you relate to this?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Can you relate to the conversation?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. What amount of money would make your life better right now?
Right now, $1,500.
And what would that go to?
That would go to fixing my vehicle so I can make it back and forth to work.
Okay.
It seems when one thing goes wrong, something else goes wrong.
Right.
And I'm a blue-collar worker.
Right.
And it just seems I can't get ahead. I take one step forward, two steps back.
Okay.
And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Absolutely. So that $1,500 right now would fix your car. How are you getting to work in the meantime?
I'm pins and needles, so to speak.
Oh, you mean the car? You're not sure the car's always going to make it.
Correct. But luckily, I only work 3.5 miles away.
Oh, so if need be, particularly in the summer, you could jump on a bike.
Steve.
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I want to ask.
It's kind of dangerous, but.
Yeah. Okay. Judy has a question.
I do. If $1,500 would fix your car, what do you have in terms of debt? Do you have credit card bills pressing and stuff like that?
No, I have absolutely. I gave up credit cards completely.
Okay, so you live by cash.
I live by cash.
And how old are you?
I am 52.
Okay, and do you have savings for when you retire?
And I do have a retirement fund.
Uh-huh.
And when that comes up in 9 years, I can retire.
Uh-huh. You're going to make enough money in the 9 years that you can live like you want to live? I'm so worried about your retirement.
No, Steve. Not at all. Not at all. And my wife is handicapped. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's very
tough.
All
right. So for you, the number right now is $1,500.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks, ladies.
We're asking, since the Federal Reserve Board says 47% of Americans could not come up with $400 cash in an emergency, they would have to borrow it, sell something, or go to friends or family. We're just asking you, what's your number? What is the amount right now that would fix it for you if you could put your hands on it? Hey, Maurice.
Hey, hello.
Hi, what's your number?
Actually, I couldn't put a number, but I just wanted to put out there that I was looking for a sports radio station on AM.
Well, you must be very surprised to find us.
But the topic you're talking about, it needs to be out there. Nobody ever addresses it.
Okay.
I appreciate what you guys are doing. I do live paycheck to paycheck.
All right.
That's
what would, if you needed to come up immediately with $400, how would you do it?
I couldn't.
You could not. You don't have family that might be able to help.
They might, but they struggle as well.
Okay. Have you ever taken out a payday loan?
I have.
Are you still paying it off, or did you manage to pay it off quickly?
I eventually paid it off.
Because those are a mother.
They are ridiculous.
Right.
They're robbing you without a gun.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the interest rates on those are in the 30s, aren't they?
33
yeah.
plus.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But I just wanted to say, I don't even know you guys' name or nothing, but I appreciate you for putting this topic out.
Maurice, we're Kathy and Judy. We're on every Saturday.
Kathy and Judy, I heard of you. Oh, whoa. Okay. I have heard of you. Okay.
And also, Maurice, you might want to know that we say around here at WGN, when you think sports, you think Kathy and Judy. So before you go over to that other station, you might, you know, check in with us because, you know, we got a sports guy just standing
He's
by here. Sam
only
Paniadovich.
The best in the city.
Right. Sam Paniadovich. Hey, Sam.
Yes.
Say something sports to Maurice.
Yeah. So, Maurice, you get some sports that
here
you want.
Here we go. Hold on, Maurice.
Oh, yes. Maurice.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No, don't go away.
See, here it comes.
You come for the stuff, but then he hangs up when it's my turn.
No,
Maurice.
No, he's not hanging up. He's
no,
there.
No, no, sir. I'm still here. I'm still here.
Say Maurice, something sports.
You realize, Maurice, yes. that when the All-Star game in baseball rolls around, you may have a starter from the Cubs on the mound and a starter for the White Sox on the mound. Jake Arrieta probably starts against Chris Sale. That'd be the first time that's ever happened in the history of the All-Star game. Both starters yeah. from the same city on opposite teams. How about that? What do you think about that, Maurice?
Okay, can I tell you one thing?
Yes.
I keep statistics in my pocket.
Okay.
I'm a big sports buff. Okay.
Okay, so you knew this?
Yeah, they're both undefeated. I'm like I say, before I caught you guys, I was looking for a sports station.
All right. Well, it turns out you got one.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't there a question, Sam, about some big name coming to the Cubs?
Yeah, well, give me a question, Sam. I can answer it.
There was a rumor about Mike Trout possibly being traded here. I don't buy it.
It won't happen.
A question for Maurice. Okay, Maurice.
Uh-oh.
We're doing sports with music.
What are the three numbers that Michael Jordan wore in his basketball career with the Bulls? He's worn three different jersey numbers. What are they?
Maurice?
23.
Yes.
45.
One more.
Give me 10 seconds.
Okay.
So you can look it up.
I'll tell you what.
I'm not looking it up.
Okay.
All right, Maurice, because I was going to say, you're living...
23, 23, and 40. No, he's only worn two.
No, he wore number 12 one time because somebody in the equipment department forgot his jersey.
And that's a fire question.
Yeah.
Trick question.
Do you know what, though? You got two out of three. Maurice, we also give prizes.
Yes, we're going to give you live paycheck to paycheck, but there's going to be one paycheck you don't have to worry about because you're going to get Lou Malnati's pizza. We're going to send you a $25 gift card. Lou Malnati's Lou Malnati's is all over the place, so you stay on the line. Kristen will find out where to send it. And check us out again.
I will. I'm 7:20 a.m. What are your times?
There you
Saturday
go, Maurice.
Mornings, 10 to noon. Your girlfriends are here, Maurice. We're here for you.
You stay where you are so Kristen can send you a Malnati's card.
Kathy, Judy, Sam, love you guys.
Okay.
Funny, funny, funny what money can do. Ask the rich man, he'll confess, money can't buy happiness.
Yeah, but it helps.
Is that Dean Martin?
Sounds like
but
it.
But he'd rather be miserable with than without.
Yeah. And for many Americans, money is an issue. And according to the Federal Reserve Board, 47% of Americans would have trouble coming up with $400 cash in an emergency. And we're just asking our girlfriends out there, and many, well, 47% of Americans are struggling paycheck to paycheck. Is there a number that you say, oh, if only I had X? And Judy and I were talking on the air before about there was a time in my life when $100 would have made a huge difference. That was back in the 80s when an electric bill was $19 or a mm-hmm. gas bill was $9. And I had my electricity turned off twice. And so I get it. This is Betty. Hi, Betty. What would your number be?
Hi. I told your person that I spoke to $400, but $5 would be better.
What would you do with the extra
$100? I want to hear.
I don't know, maybe buy some things at grocery time that were just fun things, you know.
Okay, like vegetables.
Or something.
So another $400 a month. Are you on a limited income? What's your situation?
Yes, I am. I'm 73. I am on a limited income. I've never called a radio station in my life. And I disagree with you about people being offended at someone that's real rich. I think that people just want some of what they got. That's
you, all. You mean in turn? We were talking about Donald Trump.
Yes.
Kristen, what, Kristen? You're not coming in, hon.
Okay.
No, not
bye.
You.
Okay. Thank you, Betty.
Am I here? Okay.
Yes, there you are.
I just wanted to tell Betty, I'm not offended by rich people at all. I'm offended by Donald Trump.
Okay. There you go. Big difference. All right. 312-981-7200. This is Corey. Corey, what amount of money would make a huge difference in your life on this day?
I would say $3,000.
And what would you do with it?
I got two chihuahuas. They both need operation. They're probably almost, they quoted me at $1,000 a piece. Plus, I need gas. Plus, I've been out of work for quite some time now. I'm a union carpenter, but I've had trouble finding any kind of work. So just to set things right. Plus, my mom and dad have been helping me out. They're both in their 70s.
Uh-huh.
So I've been really struggling lately. But
okay.
I'm keeping my head up.
So for you, it's $3,000.
Yeah, I would say that just to get some hospital bills paid off too, and just get even.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Corey.
You're welcome. Can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Uh-huh. So I'm a union carpenter, and automatically a lot of people have bad feelings against union carpenters, but they don't see the lean times that we have. I mean, a lot of us don't work all the time. We have times off all year.
Right. So, in the winter time.
Yeah. Right. So the good money that we do work when we're making it, it's fine. But yeah, we have to put away, and we have to budget just like everyone else.
Right. Right.
Now, won't things pick up in the summer?
I would think by now, May, it should be picking up. But every big company I've been trying to knock on their doors, they just said for some reason it's been slow this year. I don't know why.
Wow.
I've been all the way down. I'm from LaPorte, Indiana, and I went this week. I went all the way downtown Chicago and chimed in with their local one just to try to find some work. I'll drive to Chicago. I don't care where I have to drive to get it, you know.
Okay, yeah, well, LaPorte, we wish you luck, and we hope your dogs are okay.
Good luck, Corey. Yeah, thanks, and thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. From time to time, you hear us reading texts. Well, I think Kristen is putting texts up on the is it the WGN Plus page, Kristen, or is it the WGN, which page?
No, it's a live blog that's on WGNradio.com.
Okay, so go check it out. Just go find shows and scroll down to our show.
It's also on the front page of the website.
Right, and we can't always get to all the texts, and sometimes we don't want to read all of them because sometimes they're really mean or critical of other listeners or whatever, but they're all up there on the
I put almost all of them up.
Yeah. Kristen doesn't put all of them up, but
almost
most
all of them.
Most all of them up.
Let's get married again.
Married.
Oh, let's not.
Again, again, and again. No, just getting married for Not the first time.
We're to the same person or to a different person?
Different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before we talk about that, though, again, we want to remind you that we are going to be down at Garfield Park Observatory for a remote, part of the Hometown Voices tour, which is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. We're going to be there next Saturday, 10 to noon. Free parking, free admission. Nobody charges anybody anything, not for us. And it'll be great. And we really want you to come. We haven't seen Girlfriends live and in person.
And there will be plenty of seating, so don't worry about that.
All right, well, we're only setting up 10 chairs to begin with, so it doesn't look empty. Because we always worry that our girlfriends aren't going to be there.
Kristen, is there any food?
Not that we know of.
Oh, well, then eat a good breakfast.
Yeah. That's right. Eat a good breakfast.
Really?
And it's just off the Eisenhower Expressway.
Sam's dad's bakery wants to drop off some stuff.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah,
that would
no problem. Yeah, let me get right on that.
Okay.
Just quick, a couple texts. This goes to the carpenter. Corey was the carpenter. My husband's a pipe fitter. He's normally working overtime by now. Work is bad everywhere. He's struggling to find work. Sorry, keep your chin up. And another girlfriend said, tell Corey that on Route 25 in Batavia, there are help wanted signs for union carpenters. I love when people help each other out. So anyway.
Is that far away?
But from Batavia to LaPorte, Indiana, is like an hour and 50 minutes. It's about 105 miles. So Corey did say he would drive, you know, he would drive anywhere to get a job. So I don't know where the union carpenters are needed in Batavia, but apparently there are signs.
Oh, well, so, good. Yeah. Well, back to getting married again. There was a story I read about a month or so ago that I thought this was a surprising statistic, that 4 out of 5 marriages that take place are marriages of second and third time marriages.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Where did that come from?
The New York Times.
Wow.
They were quoting, they didn't go out and do a survey, but, and I don't have the article with me right now.
Okay.
But so.
So 80% of marriages are second. Are not first marriages.
4 out of 10, thank you.
Oh, 4 out of 10. Okay, even still, that's 40%.
That's almost half, yeah.
That's 40%.
Right.
Okay.
And one of the things, though, that it said about second marriages is that weddings do not tend to follow, even close, anything that's been traditional. And I think in my own case, it's absolutely true. Now, nobody's had smaller weddings than I have that I know.
All of them.
Both of them.
Okay.
Why'd you say that? Did you think that was funny?
No. Apparently I did. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to be mean.
Okay. It wasn't mean. It was just like, you know how
bitchy.
Many times I've been married.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, my question is, so I have had very small marriages. My first marriage.
Weddings.
You've had
big marriages.
Big, long marriages.
Right.
Small
yeah.
weddings. First marriage had 22 people at the ceremony, and they were all named Lindheim, which is my maiden name. My parents didn't give the Markey side of the family too much latitude. It was a very fraught occasion. The second marriage was just my husband, Tom, and each of our 2 children, and we didn't invite brothers and sisters and everything
or
like that.
Or girlfriends.
No girlfriends. Were you hurt?
No, I understood it was just a very tiny little ceremony.
Yeah,
right.
it was tiny. Again, with the rabbi's study, I don't quite know what that is, but I never got myself into a chapel, and I never got myself into a real wedding dress or anything like that. But it was an unconventional size, and I think there were some people who were disappointed at not being there. I know that. But when you had your second marriage, how did you do it? Did you have a reception? Like, sometimes I read the vows section in Sunday's New York Times, and people who are on their third marriage have like a 300-person wedding. Another wedding that I think people are bringing dogs to their weddings, second weddings, because you already have your dog. Well, that could happen in a first wedding now, too. And children, of course, are and grandchildren are in weddings now. But what is your second wedding, since 4 out of 10 marriages are with these kinds of weddings that are not your firsty? What did you do to make it not your standard wedding? Because have you ever been to someone's second wedding?
I've never been to one.
I haven't either.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Not, maybe it'll come to me later, but it doesn't. I haven't been to a wedding in a long time. I'm going to a wedding this summer, a family wedding. A nephew is getting married. And that's one of the Saturdays I'll be off in July, because I'll be off to New Hampshire for that. So it'll be nice. I just haven't seen a wedding, a real live wedding in a while.
Yeah, I haven't either. Dawn?
312-981-7200 is our number. Hi, Dawn.
Hi. So, how are you?
All right. Good. Did you get married a second time?
I did, and it was smaller than Kathy's or Judy's?
Judy.
Okay. It was just me and my husband, and we flew to Grand Cayman, and it was the year that Queen Elizabeth visited, and she was visiting, mm-hmm. and we got married on the beach. And then there were fireworks and the island was all cleaned up because Queen Elizabeth was there.
For the Queen. Children, no relatives, no nothing?
No, nothing, nothing.
Were people ticked off?
I don't know. I sent out announcements, and then I don't even think we had a party afterwards. But that's totally the way that I think everybody should do it and save their money, and then they'd have $400.
Well, that's true.
Well, but you know what, Dawn, you're coming from a place where you could afford to fly to Grand Cayman to be married. So, you know, don't be dismissive of people who can't afford to save.
No.
I don't think she said
that's not what I was intending.
Oh, okay.
No. I think that, anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so wait, one quick question about the fireworks. They weren't for you. They were for the queen.
The queen, yes. But the whole island was festooned, and it was, and we didn't plan it that way.
I was just going to say, did you know that was going to be the case, or did you just say, let's fly down to Grand Cayman and do it there? And was it a quick kind of decision?
Yes. And so we had no idea that she was going to be there, and the person that married us had to go to he was a official, so he had to go to a function, and then his wife ended up marrying us. Or maybe he came drunk.
That would be something you'd remember. And how long have you been married to this person, Dawn?
Oh, 22 wonderful years.
So it's working out.
22.
Excellent. Congratulations. Great. And thank you for listening and calling.
Yes.
Take care. Bye bye. You're getting married again.
We are back talking about second weddings. 4 out of 10 weddings are second, third, whatever, multiple. You've been married a couple times. And they say in this article that I read about this that the second wedding is usually extremely different from the first, however it was set up. And this is Pauline. Hi.
Pauline?
Pauline.
Hello, Pauline. Maybe she's getting married again. Okay. Oh, we'll put her on hold. She fell out. We're not sure what
happened
there.
Okay, we'll talk to Krista.
Hi, Krista.
Yes.
Tell us about your second wedding.
Well, I just got married in October, second time, and I would have probably preferred a smaller wedding, but it was my spouse's first wedding. And so it was important to him to have, you know, the family and the friends. And so, I mean, we had a wonderful, wonderful event. But probably if it would have been just me, I would have said, let's keep it smaller and low key.
Was it bigger than your first wedding?
It was not. I would say my first had maybe about 250, and this was about 120. But I kind
of pictured,
you know, like
I have three children. I pictured kind of the same thing you talked about, maybe having my family, maybe my brother, but much smaller.
What did you wear?
Yeah, did you get a bride dress again?
I did, but I definitely was more purposeful. I went short. You know, I did not wear anything long or pretty, much to my two young daughters' dismay. They were quite upset because in their head, they, you know, a bride looked a certain way. And so I definitely didn't look like that. I wore like a cream-colored, you know, it was on the cheek.
Tasteful. You
know, you
were very tasteful.
Yeah.
Okay. We like tasteful.
Tasteful. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So, and how long have we been married to the second?
October, she said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
October.
Okay.
October.
So you're still in your first year and you're still glad you did it.
I'm still glad I did it, yes.
Okay,
Does he doesn't have kids because it's his first marriage, or does he have kids even though it's his first marriage?
He has none. He has none. He will in November because we're expecting our first together.
How old are you?
I am 35.
Did you hear our conversation last week about older moms?
No, I didn't, but I am. I'm considered geriatric.
Check out our podcast. Last week, Steve and I talked about women who had babies after 35 who are, as you said, considered geriatric mothers. And then I posted a secondary story because the next day, CBS Sunday Morning did a story about older moms. So you're one of them.
I hope it's good.
Happy Labor Day to you, Krista.
You're an old hand. You can handle it.
It's so weird because this week I met somebody.
You had somebody what?
I met somebody whose mom had twins at 56 by accident. And I was like, we just talked about this.
Oh my
God. That's like a what's it called?
A miracle.
Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's like,
this from the text line. My second wedding was a lot smaller than the first, only 75 people compared to 175. Oh, yeah, there was another difference. No bride and groom, just two grooms.
With rising prices for fresh produce and the use of pesticides by commercial growers, you might be thinking about starting your own garden, growing your own fruits and vegetables. Well, Epsoma can help. Epsoma is the very best in natural and organic plant foods and potting soils. Espoma. Okay. All right. I just was looking at the pronouncer here, and it doesn't have it like that, but I like it. Espoma has tomato tone, blended specifically to create plump, juicy tomatoes. Espoma has garden tone for bigger, brighter peppers and onions. Ask for Espoma by name at Lurvie's and Des Plaines, Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, and participating Ace hardware stores. There just was no big ES here.
Oh.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it says Espoma.
Well, I was saying Espoma.
No, you said Epsoma. That's okay.
I did?
Yeah, it's okay. We got it right. They're getting extra time. They're getting more than their
Espoma,
money's worth.
Espoma, Espoma, Espoma.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Amy Guth, Amy Guth, Amy Guth.
Hello.
Hey, girlfriend.
How's it going?
Well, we're just fine. You know, we're lucky enough that we could come up with $400.
That was a very interesting conversation.
47% of Americans couldn't. So, you know, there you are on the business lunch.
Right.
You know, talking to people who might be able to affect that.
I know, indeed.
And today, you're doing what?
You know, today we're going to talk in two different points about food, in particular, kind of the big food companies that acquire the little health food companies, which is a really interesting topic because it brings up this idea of selling out and how your business mission is so tied to your bottom line sometimes when you're a small company with some kind of social good attached to it. But then also about how McDonald's is kind of changing the way they're talking about nutrition a little bit. Because that's a thing they do.
Are you talking to a McDonald's person or to a nutrition person?
Well, McDonald's was sending someone around who claimed to have lost 60 pounds after eating only McDonald's. Like,
oh, who was that guy? Who was that guy?
Yeah.
He's a school teacher from Iowa.
The Morgan Spurlock.
Oh, yes.
He ate just McDonald's and nearly went into kidney failure.
I think it was Burger King.
No, it was McDonald's.
It was McDonald's.
Supersize Me, which is such an interesting I like Morgan Spurlock because he's willing to be his own test subject.
Yeah, I mean, he got really sick because every day he ate only McDonald's and tried to cover the whole menu.
And remember his girlfriend, who was like a vegan chef, was begging him and crying, like, "You're going to die. Please don't do this to me.
Exactly.
Die and leave us here."
Exactly.
So we're going to be talking about that. But we're also going to be talking about how Uber drivers are starting to organize a little bit. And also this idea of nursing homes. And sometimes you've healed from surgery or whatever, and it's time to leave. And sometimes you can't quite leave that quickly. So
because you can't have.
Well, there's a lot of layers to it. So there's a lot of, sometimes it's just like paperwork and administrative. Sometimes it's leaving you there because they believe you need more care. There's a lot to it. It's
how really are you going to do all that in 1 hour?
I know. I'm going to talk really, I have a lot of coffee and I'm going to talk really, really fast is what I'm going to do.
I remember once when my mom was in a nursing home for rehab after her hip broke. We sort of kidnapped her out of there one day. You know, we got a wheelchair. We put her in a wheelchair. We went out a back door.
That's such a vision.
Right. And we were all over the place with her. And then they were upset because they didn't know where she was. Right.